Thank you, King. Isaiah, I hope you weren't too intimidated singing next to me. What are you guys laughing for so hard over there? Yeah. Oh, now it's good to hear you guys sing. It is good. 2024. We faced a lot this last year, last couple years. But as we are in this last Sunday of this year, I want to kind of look to see what we're going to be facing this next year. And in some ways, it's pretty bad. You know, not to start the new year off on a bad note, but, you know, we need to kind of see what's going on in the world, because A lot of times, especially Americans, are pretty bad at this. We kind of are in our own little bubble. We don't see things that are happening. So let's start with taking a look at what we're going to face this new year, what the new year is going to start with. First thing, of course, is the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. The Bible has foretold us in Zechariah and many other places that towards the end, Israel will be the focus of the entire world. And little Jerusalem, that little city, will be the point of contention. And we see right now, this is so far completely different than all the other Middle East flare-ups that we've seen in the past. On October 7th, something changed. We know the horrific attack on Israel by Hamas, but it seemed to release something. Maybe even release a more demonic force than we've seen. Because through this conflict, through that day and the massacre and the atrocities that happened, something has happened in the world that we haven't seen since the 1930s and 40s. The rise of anti-Semitism on a level we've never seen since World War II. Before October 7th, to have pictures of Adolf Hitler were... Well, there's something you could do. The swastika was a hated symbol everywhere. To say things negative and disgusting about Jews could get you in a lot of hot water in your job and other places. But after October 7th, anti-Semitism seemed to just sprout up everywhere. All across the United States, all across Europe, Australia, Asia, South America, Africa, everywhere you started seeing people hating Jews. Go to the next picture, Levi. This is here in the United States. Swastikas. You see the flag back there in the back, swastika, the red one. The poster. It's the stupid Jew. Did we ever see this before? College students screaming, "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free." We talked about Palestine. Palestine never existed. Adrian, the Roman emperor, renamed Israel because they were a thorn in his side. He came in and he wiped out most of the Jews, and he renamed the place Palestine in 134 AD. And we know there was no Arabs living there. There was no such thing as Palestinians. I'm not going to go over all that, but this is crazy. But now we have college students, not just in America, and not just at the small colleges or insignificant college, no, Ivy League colleges, screaming for the genocide. And that's what that phrase means. From the river to the sea means to wipe out all the Jews in Israel. And we've got our college-age students screaming for genocide. And no one thinks it's wrong. London police report a 1,353% rise in anti-Semitic hate crimes. There was a lot more pictures I could have put up. Disgusting. Yes, there are rallies for support of Jews. I'm not saying it's all bad. But what is different here with this flare-up between Israel and Palestine, Palestinians, the Gazans, is this anti-Semitism seems to be okay for a good section of the populace of the world. It's okay to hate Jews now. The Bible says towards the end, all nations will eventually come against Israel. All nations, including ours. And this rise, especially in the younger generations, of despising the Jew. College students having Adolf Hitler on their cell phones, pictures of him, holding them up. We are definitely moving towards the time when all nations will hate the Jew. So we have this conflict, and it's spreading. It's spreading. It's spreading. It's going to spread north probably in this year. Hezbollah and Israel. Next slide, Levi. Those are the flags of Israel and Lebanon. Hezbollah basically controls Lebanon. And they've been attacking Israel, and Israel's been attacking them. There hasn't been an invasion of Lebanon yet. They're still dealing with Gaza, but they're going to probably go into Lebanon. The war is starting to spread outside of just Gaza and Israel. Next slide, Levi. Then we have this conflict brewing. The United States, Israel, because we're supporting Israel. Syria, Iran, and you can also throw Iraq in there. Now, you know, we have forces in Iraq and Syria. You don't hear much about them, but we have bases there. These bases have been coming under attack. Yesterday, there was a major attack with reported casualties among U.S. soldiers in Syria. This war is spreading. Iran has got her fingers in everything. And yesterday, or the day before, there was 12 high-ranking Iranian officials killed in Syria by Israel. Because they're just spreading the terrorism. So now it's spreading, going to spread to Syria. We're in the midst there. It's going to get big. Yemen. The Houthis. Yesterday, do you know the U.S. military sunk 3 attack boats from Yemen yesterday? They were attacking a ship. Our helicopters came to protect the ship. The Houthis fired on them. And our forces returned fire and sunk their ships. That's an act of war. We're at war with Yemen, though it's not declared. It's spreading, folks. Then we've gotten the war that everyone's forgotten about, Ukraine and Russia. Have you guys heard about that lately? No, because Israel's taking the whole spotlight. But Putin attacked, some heavy attacks just a couple days ago. Putin's not going to back down. He's not going to walk away from Ukraine without what he, you know, without what he wants, or in victory, basically. And he wants half their country as his, or the whole country. The European Union is afraid it's going to spill over. Putin's already put nuclear missiles in Belarus. Finland closes borders to Russia. There's tensions all down through the European Union. This is the exact place World War I, basically World War II, began. Let's go to China, Taiwan, and the United States. We seem to have our fingers in a lot of pies, don't we? China's looking at this. We've depleted our stockpiles. The U.S. military's stockpiles of ammunition, munitions for artillery, missiles for jets and anti-aircraft. We've depleted our reserves. We are down to very little because we sent it all to Ukraine. And now we've been sending it to Israel, which I'm not against that one, but China's watching. She wants Taiwan. She says he'll take it by force. And the United States, it says, we will defend her. China's looking at Taiwan right now real close because they see how busy we are with Ukraine and Israel to really have the time, the forces, and the ability to defend Taiwan. Then we got another guy rattling his saber, North Korea. South Korea. Just today, he announced that he wants to get his nuclear capabilities even bigger and ready. And you know, Putin and him and the leaders of China, the leaders of Iran, the leaders of Syria, Lebanon, have all been meeting in the last few months. This whole axis of evil, I say that loosely because, you know, there's not an innocent nation involved here, including ours. But still, this axis that is against Western values and concerns us. They're all been meeting. The Bible says towards the end there'll be a coalition. And I haven't mentioned Turkey, but Turkey, the nation of Turkey, Erdogan, I think is his name, to say it correctly, the president of Turkey. Oh, he's fuming. He is fuming. Listen to what he's saying. Go Google his name and see what he's been saying about Israel and what they're doing to the Palestinians. He's fuming. He's also been meeting with Putin and the leaders of Iran. Why that is very interesting to know is the Bible tells us towards the end there'll be a coalition of nations that's going to attack Israel. Okay? Led by Russia, Turkey, and Iran. But anyway, this is forming, and Japan's involved in this because North Korea keeps shooting missiles towards Japan. So Japan is building up. Man. And then just look at, because of all these conflicts and all this stuff, we have a problem at the southern border. Next slide, Levi. We have a problem at the southern border. Our borders are open and all sorts of people are coming in. And experts are saying, because we're supporting Israel and we're supporting these other things, that there are terrorists from those nations coming in. Just this weekend, an Iranian national with terror ties caught crossing the northern border through from Canada, let alone the southern border. So a lot of experts talking about, man, major terrorism is going to start happening in the Western world, including the United States. I hope not. 2024, looking at the global situation, doesn't look good. Well, there's more. There's the economic crisis coming. The dollar is failing. Have you guys noticed that there's inflation? Yeah. They're predicting the dollar is going to collapse this year. Now, they said that in 2022. Not yet, Levi. They said that in 2022, too. But what we did notice in 2023, that the value of the dollar decreased. Inflation is going to get worse. They're talking about hyperinflation. I don't know what hyperinflation looks like, but it doesn't sound good. Now, next slide, Levi. This was published on December 19th. U.S. Economist predicts 2024 will be biggest crash in our lifetime. Woo-hoo! Next slide. Middle East could spark global recession, says Wall Street experts. Fears add to the Russian-Ukraine conflict. A troubled economy points to global catastrophe. I don't know if these experts are correct or not. We'll have to wait and see. 2024, looking a little scary. But there's more! America divided! Oh! Next slide, Levi. The last three presidents, love them, like them, hate them, I don't care. But let me tell you what all three of them have caused. Obama, with his presidency, we became a more divided nation by race. There's no doubt. Experts are saying it. He made race relations worse. Trump divided the nation with politics. The line has been deeper because of President Trump than it ever has been before. And Biden, he's caused us to be divided more than ever on social issues. We are a divided country on every level. I can't even imagine what the 2024 election is going to be like. It's going to be nasty. 2024 doesn't look too pretty in some ways. But there's more. We got a divided church. Corrupted church. Matthew chapter 24, verse 4 says, "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and he will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows.'" We've been seeing these signs for 100 years now. But it's getting more intense. Verse 9. "Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my namesake," Christian persecution. Just this last week, over 100 Christians were murdered during their Christmas service there in Africa. You'll be hated by all nations for my namesake, the name of Christ. And then many will be offended in churches. Many will get offended with the truth of the Word of God. They'll betray one another and will hate one another. The church is divided. Church is corrupt. "Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." We've never had so many false prophets today. Getting people deceived, chasing signs and wonders, and making church all about them. Have your best life now. There are so many false prophets deceiving so many today. And because of this, lawlessness will abound, meaning there will not be obedience to the Word of God, even in the churches. The love of many, the love for their Savior, will grow cold. But he who endures to the end, he who stays faithful to the Word of God, are the ones showing that they are truly his. He who endures to the end shall be saved. Verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." One more verse, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. "But evil men and apostles will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned." I would love to say, hey, you know what? Things are going to get better in this world. We have the hope that things are going to turn around. Things are going to get better. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. We can have a lull where things that everything's getting so bad, it's sliding down the hill. It may slow down. Things are not going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse. Men are going to get worse and worse, and the deceiving and being deceived is going to get worse. But you church, the faithful, "But you must continue in the things which you have learned and be assured of, knowing that from whom you have learned them, that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ." You see, the world's going to get worse. Two passages showing us that. But the one passage, as it said, things are going to get worse. The gospel was the focus. Come back to the gospel. It's all that matters. And here, it's saying it's going to get worse, but the Holy Scriptures, salvation with faith in Christ. That's what matters. You see, there's two things in this world. As we see the world getting worse, there are two things that are eternal. There are two things, and only two things, that will last for all eternity. The Word of God and human souls. That's it. These are the two things we need to invest in. Yes, we have lives. We have to go to school. We have jobs. We have families. Yes, and live your life, but understand, live it in such a way that the two eternal things are a focus for you. The Word of God and human souls. 2024, what are we to do? It looks terrible. It looks scary. Are we to live in fear? Are we to stick our head in a hole, pretend everything is good? Or do we do what we were created to do? To be the church. To bring the truth of God's word to a lost world. To share the gospel. Warn people of the judgment of God. It's real. It's coming. Everybody's accountable to Him. But there's good news. God is also love. And He died for you, and He wants you to repent of your sins so He can bestow on you His blood, His redemption, and make you a child of God. To bestow on you His righteousness, that you may enter into the kingdom of heaven. Three years ago, we were coming out of the COVID lockdowns. Very tough time. And I gave a sermon called Running with the Horses. I thought I needed to share a part of that sermon today. Because 2024 can look a little scary. What do we do? Well, we can get our answer here. Running with the horses. Jeremiah 12, verse 5. If you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with the horses? Footmen are soldiers, foot soldiers. And if just being with the foot soldiers, coming up against foot soldiers has tired you, Jeremiah. What are you going to do when the cavalry gets here and the horses are running? If you're tired just dealing with the small things, how are you going to deal when things get more hard, get tougher? As the Bible tells us, it will be before the end. How are you going to endure, Jeremiah? I love to look at these horses here, just the horse in general. It's a magnificent animal. It really is. Everything God creates, but the horse He created special. Do you realize this? God created the horse to literally carry men into battle. The book of Job, chapter 39, verse 19 says this. Have you given the horse strength? God is asking Job a bunch of questions to adjust Job's attitude. And God is asking him rhetorical questions that Job cannot answer because only God can answer these questions. But He says, have you given the horse strength, Job? Have you clothed his neck with thunder? Can you frighten him like a locust? His majestic snorting strikes terror. He paws in the valley and rejoices in his strength. He gallops into the clash of arms, combat. He mocks at fear and is not frightened, nor does he turn back from the sword. The quiver rattles against him, the glittering spear and javelin. He devours the distance with fierceness and rage, nor does he come to a halt because the trumpet has sounded. At the blast of the trumpet, he, the horse, says, "Ha!" He smells the battle from afar. The thunders of captains and shouting. The horse was designed to carry men into war because God knew men would be evil and there'd be times for what we call just war, defeating bad things like Nazi Germany. But there's always been bad people that good people had to stand up against. And the horse at a time was a key to battle. All the way up to World War I. In World War I, there was the Australian 3rd Light Horse Brigade. They have on record the last heroic charge of cavalry forces in history. Not to take away from the bravery of this man, but I want you to watch this movie clip. But in this movie clip, I want you to watch the horses. Animals doing things that no other animal would do. Bombs bursting around, bullets flying by. I want you to look, but and in the midst of this chaos, the majestic flow, the beauty of these animals carrying these men into battle. Watch this. Job wrote about horses, you understand, was written 2000 B.C. It's terrible to see war, and war is terrible. And not to take away from the bravery of those men who made that charge that day, but the beauty and the majesty of those horses doing it, carrying those men. It's marvelous, it's a wonderful thing to see something God created doing what it was created to do. even in a terrible time and place as war. Job 39, have you given the horse strength? Verse 24, he devours the distance with fierceness and rage. Doesn't matter how far he has to run. A horse will run and push itself, even to the point where they drop dead. True story about a horse called Secretariat to win the three big races. But this horse was good in short distance races. But the last race is over a mile long, long race. And it was, people were saying there's never been a horse built that could win all three races in one year, especially the final race. Because if you push this horse too hard, it would die. He devours the distance with fierceness and rage. Play the next clip.
Horses now loaded in.
He's going out too fast!
This is no good.
Why is he going to leave?
I don't know.
Go! Go!
And with the secretary, it's an even faster pace as they round the first turn.
Come on, man. Come on.
Three quarters of Blitz Street, 109-4.
There you go. There you go.
Secretary and Chad lost in a deadly duel.
Afraid of nothing. He does not shy away from the sword. He cannot stand still when the trumpet sounds.
Look at chariot wins. It's the greatest racehorse in human history. Nothing has come close to that horse. Covered the distance with rage. Have you given the horse strength? Verse 22. He mocks at fear and is not frightened. The first two are real events. This last one I have for you is not a true story, but it's a great story. The man from Snowy River. And he has a horse called a Mountain Brombie, bred for the tough terrain of mountain life. And you'll see the riders riding their horses, and they come up to a steep ravine, and they're too scared. They don't trust their horses, and they're just, men are too fearful to go over the edge. But one, his horse has no fear, and he trusts his horse, and he rides him where no other person would ride.
Bid the mob good day.
I probably watched that on how many times as a kid. What a majestic animal. Man has been able to do so many things because of the horse. That horse that God designed to carry him. It's beautiful to see one of God's creatures doing what it was designed to do. And folks, it's the same with us as believers. We are His creation, a new creation, to be His church, to be His disciples, to be His witnesses, to be salt and light in this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he, she is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We're new creations to have the ministry, each one of us, of reconciliation, warning people about the judgment, sharing the gospel that they too can have what we have. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word. We are to speak the word of reconciliation. It means sharing the gospel. That is what we were created in Christ to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, the birth of the Christ child, to grow up to be Jesus, the man who would go and die in our place, taking our sins upon himself, that we might become the righteousness of God in him by faith and grace alone. God calls us in this new creation that he has, as the new creations in him, he has called us to run the race. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Believer, church, run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we are living for Christ for an imperishable crown. Something that is eternal. There's only two things that are eternal. The word of God and human souls. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. We know why we're here. We know what we're supposed to be doing. Thus, I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Thus, I fight. It is a fight to live for Christ in this world that is so lost and dark. It is. It's hard. It's going to be a fight. But it's the good fight of faith. To walk in such a way that we honor God and we show people that there's a better way. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. Finished the race. I have kept the race. How do we do this? We stay focused on the purpose we were created for. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross on our behalf, despising the shame that we brought upon him, our own shame from our sin. He endured the cross for us. And since he was willing to die for us so that we may have his righteousness, we should lay down the sin and the things that draw us away from being what he created us to be. We should run the race. And it doesn't matter how hard 2024 may be. Doesn't matter how hard the times may get or the circumstances may get. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So even if 2024 is scary and bad things happen, it doesn't matter. We can do this. We can endure hard times and circumstances because we need to always look to the future. The amazing things God has promised for us. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Folks, we have the grace of God every day. We have the promises of God to look forward to. We've talked about the rapture, the heavenly city. We've talked about the millennial reign, the new heaven, the new earth, this beautiful plan that's going to happen. It's going to take place. And we get to be a part of it. And nothing we go may suffer in this life is worthy compared to the glory which will be revealed in us. God, we have his promises of a bright and beautiful future. We have hope when no one else in the world can say they have hope. No one else in the world knows what's going to happen in their future. They're hoping, worldly hope, that things are going to go good. We have a future that's guaranteed. Our hope is secure. It's not wishy-washy. It's not, will it happen? It will happen. And whatever we have to endure now, until then, it's worth it. But we have hope. We have the love of God. And we have no fear. No matter how scary the circumstances of 2024 may be, we have no fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Power of the Holy Spirit. Of love. The love of God, 1 Corinthians 13, poured into our lives and should be poured out into the world. And of a sound mind. Not to get rattled. To stay focused. To have understanding of what's happening in this world. So what are we to do in 2024? Simple. Be His church. To be the church. We have our lives to live. We have our occupations, our jobs, schooling, whatever it may be. We're not the church here. The church is not this building. And we're not just the church when we're together. We're the church 24/7. So everything we do, everywhere we go, we can be the church. And we are to be the church in those aspects. We are to show Christ. We're to show the love of God. So being His church means we're going to live our lives in the truth. We're going to live truth out there in the world so they can see it in us. And we're going to proclaim the truth when we have opportunities. We're going to speak it to people. We're going to seek the Word of God and the sanctification of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to take every opportunity to share the love of God, to share the gospel, to invite people to come. Because that's what we were designed to do. We're new creations in Christ. Christ came to save that which was lost. We are made in the image of Christ. We are created to invest our lives in seeing others saved. If we don't, we're just living for ourselves and we're wasting our time. Invest in the things that are eternal. The Word of God and human souls. For all that He has done. Come on up, team. Ooh, I'm going to be over just a little, but it could have been worse. Trust me, I went through that last part on hyperspeed. I skipped over a lot of notes. So you should praise God for that. Where's Isaiah? There he comes. I got to show him up one last time before he goes to school. For all that He has done for us. And there's so much. Starting here. And the life that He lived for us. The death that He died for us. The grace He shows us. The mercy. The love. The salvation. The forgiveness of sins. For all that He has done for us. We can do what we were created in Him to do. If a horse can charge into battle, spiritually, we can go to battle for the lost. If a horse can run the distance in a race, so can a child of God. If a horse can carry its rider over literally a cliff, and with no fear, we can go into the unknown with no fear. We can take this year, no matter how scary it might look in some ways, and have no fear. For all that He has done for us, we should do for Him what He created us to do. Please stand up with me.
Your grace will never be forgotten. Your mercy all my life will be my soul's forever song, my story and my highlight. From mountaintop to valley low, through laughter and through tears, surely the goodness of my God will follow all the years. For all that you have done for us, for every battle won, we'll raise a song to bless your heart for all that you have done. In all our failures and regrets, you've always led us home. Redemption's arm has raised us up, our triumph in the storm. For that you have done for us, for every battle won, we'll raise a song to bless your heart for more than you have done. You are faithful through the ages.
3:20-21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
In unity we'll stand as one and
make all grace abound towards you, that you always have an all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work he calls you to.
Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the beautiful example of a horse that it does exactly what you created it to do. And Lord, we want to be the same in your creation. You have created us to be your people, to be your church, to be your witnesses, to be salt and light. The world is lost. The world is dying. There are so many people deceived, Lord, and we have the truth. We are designed to share that truth, to live the truth and share it. I ask you to help us do this in 2024, Lord, that this church will make a difference. We are small, but that doesn't matter to you, Lord. You take the small things and you can do great things. Lord, this is a church where people can learn the truth. This is a church that will lead them to the truth of the gospel. I ask you, Lord, to use us this next year. Help us to make a difference. Help us to do what you created us to do. And to be what you created us to be. For your glory and for the salvation of lost souls. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen. May you have a happy new year. And I'll see you next year. God bless you. Team Jesus, we haven't broke since we've been in the holidays. We're going to break. It's our final break of 2023. We are His team. We play hard. Let's go out here this week. Start this new year. Living for our captain, our Lord Jesus Christ. So on the count of three, let's break out of here. One, two, three. Break. Let's go.